KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies, and it's currently 60 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly later this afternoon, a high of 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. A second review by the state auditor of the automated system for titles and registration used by county treasurers and the DOT continues to find issues. State Auditor Mary Mosman said this second review was prompted by a special investigation of the systems in Mills and Cerro Gordo counties.
In those reports, lack of internal controls allowed staff to circumvent controls and divert collections. And those three reports that identified undeposited collections as well as uncollected fees.
This new review investigated the systems used in 10 random counties that varied in size.
We interviewed officials within the treasurer's offices, and we observed and evaluated their current internal control systems, and we're recommending that the DOT implement on-site monitoring of county treasurer's offices so they can verify that county treasurer's staff members are consistently operating in accordance with DOT policies and procedures.
Mosman said the procedures were not being followed for voided transactions, leaving open the possibility that the money from the transaction could be taken.
In this particular review, we didn't note that voids were allowing collections to be undeposited, but we wanted to make sure that we did find that controls were not being followed.
Mosman said the DOT did respond to the recommendations in the report.
The DOT was not opposed to reinforcing their training program. They do want to make sure that resources are in place and that they have the appropriate legal capacity to do what might need to be done. I'm going to say the 10 county treasurer's offices responded favorably. But again, it's a matter of individual implementation.
Many of the smaller counties don't have as many as employees, and that creates issues with having more than one person oversee transactions.
We have heard that from multiple counties, not just in this report, but in regular audit work. Limited staff for complete segregation of duties, of course, which is why it's so important to put controls in place so that the necessary oversight can take place, the necessary checks and balances can take place, because frequently there is only one or maybe two people.
Mosman said they will continue checking to be sure the counties are following proper procedures as they move through their regular audits. The Iowa State Patrol yesterday identified the victim of a fatal head-on crash in Carroll County. Authorities say the driver of a 1996 Toyota Camry, 57-year-old Linda Lee Smith of Coon Rapids, died in the crash that happened early Tuesday afternoon on Highway 71 south of 250th Street. The patrol says Smith was traveling southbound on 71 when, for reasons unknown, her car crossed the center line of the road and hit a 2004 Toyota RAV4 head-on. Both vehicles then came to rest on the east shoulder of the road. Smith died at the scene. The driver of the RAV4, 26-year-old Corey Jean Walsh of Glidden, suffered non-life-threatening injuries and was transported to the hospital in Carroll by Carroll County EMS. That accident remained under investigation. Officials with the Harlan Police Department report last Saturday that 24-year-old Nelson Reed Geyer of Harlan was cited into court for unnecessary noise after officers were called to the 400 block of Durant Street for a complaint about loud music. And last Friday, 55-year-old Kurt Grant Whiteley of Harlan was arrested in the area of 19th and Willow Streets on a charge of public intoxication. The driver of a vehicle seen swerving all over the road in Council Bluffs Wednesday morning was arrested for OWI first offense and cited for improper use of lanes. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office says a deputy observed the 1999 Buick Century driven by 24-year-old Jonathan Michael Sitch of La Vista, Nebraska, traveling westbound on I-80 at around 12:10 a.m. after dispatch had advised the car was all over the road. As the deputy was in the process of stopping the vehicle after seeing it drive down the middle of both lanes, the car nearly hit some concrete barricades on the shoulder. When the car finally came to a stop, it happened in the traveled portion of the left lane. The car then started to roll down the interstate because the driver failed to put it in park. The deputy was able to alert Sitch, who then stopped the rolling car. Following an investigation, Sitch was taken into custody and brought to the Pott County Jail without incident. Mills County Sheriff's Office on Tuesday released a report on arrests that were made over the weekend, the past few days. Early Monday morning, 49-year-old Terry James Fernside of Council Bluffs was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and driving under suspension. Early Sunday morning, 28-year-old Chelsea Joe Griffith of Red Oak was arrested in Malvern for public intoxication. Friday afternoon, 35-year-old Aaron Lee Gillespie of Glenwood was arrested on a warrant for fifth-degree theft. Friday morning, 23-year-old Jason Thomas Meidel of Columbia, Mississippi, was arrested in Mills County for possession of a controlled substance. That same morning, 20-year-old Justice Renee Weilig of Glenwood was arrested in Mills County for possession of a controlled substance. And last Thursday night, Shelby Marie Lelahoya Fincher of Bellevue, Nebraska, was arrested for public intoxication. Cass County Board of Supervisors have once again tabled action on a resolution pertaining to fireworks sales and discharge. The board is still waiting for County Attorney Dave Wiederstein to present the final draft of the resolution. And many counties in the state and cities as well are waiting until they get better guidance on how they should govern the sale and use of fireworks, which former Governor Terry Branstad signed into law May the 9th. The bill he signed approved the sale of fireworks from today through July the 8th. And while the law does not allow a ban on the sale of fireworks, it does allow local governments the final say on if and or when fireworks can be used. Fireworks sales for vendors with a permanent structure begin June the 1st today. Sales for temporary structures, such as tents, begin June 13th. A vendor must be licensed and inspected before any sales can take place. In other business, the Cass County Supervisors yesterday approved the two-year appointment of registered nurse Michelle Woosley of Atlantic as an additional Cass County Medical Examiner Investigator. And in his report to the board, Cass County Engineer Charles Bechtold said the crews have begun to use an asphalt cold patch mix to fix cracks in about 3.4 miles worth of roads located northeast of Oneida. He said the good news is that the repairs, once completed, should last about 7 to 10 years.
That's the good news. The bad news is we estimated $40,000 for this. It's going to be over that. We're paid by the ton, but we're doing the heavy lifting. They're just putting material in. So hopefully, in the course of time, we don't know what the budget. And then we have money in our budget for this fiscal year, but I'm just saying that we're going to go over our estimate.
The board also heard a presentation from Lori Cooley, Director of Zion Recovery Services Incorporated, and Aaron Jewell, Clinical Outpatient Treatment Supervisor for Zion. That was with regard to state-licensed services that Zion provides to counties and how those services work with reduced recidivism rate, that's repeated arrests, for persons who have been arrested on drug and alcohol charges and are struggling to overcome their addictions. The program provides one-on-one recovery coaches, outpatient care, residential services, prevention, and more, all fully confidential. Finally, in area news, Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling Company is selling its Central Iowa Distribution Center in Waukee and expanding into a vacant building on the south side of Des Moines. Kirk Tyler is chairman and CEO of the company.
We've put about five of the Waukee facilities inside the building on the south side.
The expansion comes after the family-owned firm acquired the rights to distribute Coca-Cola products in northern and eastern Iowa last October. Tyler says he expects to hire about 20 new employees to work in the larger space.
We'll have about 290,000 square feet of warehousing space and about 80,000 square feet of office space, of which we have a tenant for part of that.
Tyler's family distributes Coca-Cola products to 90% of Iowa, as well as parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Missouri. The Central Iowa warehouse, located along Highway 6 in Waukee, has become a congested area for traffic, with a suburban Hy-Vee store located in the same vicinity. The company's new location on the south side of Des Moines already has access to Highway 5 bypass, which connects to both Interstates 35 and 80.
Because we go down into the Ottumwa territory and over the Quad Cities, if we were going to build a new facility or move into a different facility, business-wise, it just made sense.
July 1st is the target date for making the move from the company's Waukee facility to the four times as large building on the south side of Des Moines. The company, Atlantic Coca-Cola Bottling, operates from eight Iowa locations with, of course, the company headquarters here in Atlantic. That is a check of the news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.